Been thinking about we've kind of thought of the why do we pray this prayer bit, because we need God's Spirit to help us live the kingdom life. But I kind of want to think for a moment a bit about why. Can I have the next slide up, please? Let's just have a look again at the reading. Ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. That's there twice. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will give him a serpent? Have you ever thought about giving your son a serpent before? If he asks for a if even you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So it's a wonderful encouragement, this, because at the heart of this is really a call from the heart of Jesus to not give up, to keep on keeping on. I was reminded when Nick was singing that last song of a, you may have heard this story before, but I think I've used it, but it's a brilliant story. Whether it's true or not is another matter, but it might be. It sounds like the sort of thing that might be true. Churchill apparently during the war was invited back to his school, which I think was Harrow, to speak to the students there. And they were excited about this great statesman coming to speak to them, and the great orator, you know, we know his speeches and all the rest of it. So they were there braced to hear what Churchill would say to them. And he turned up, and there they were on tenterhooks, bated breath and all those other things. And this was his speech, something like this anyway. Never, 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 never give up. And that was it. Never give up. And there's so much, it's such a key to life to keep on keeping on. And certainly in Jesus' mind, that is true of prayer. And I'll tell you why I can say that. Later on in Matthew's Gospel, and we've got the next picture, please. Jesus told a parable. Jesus told a story to, and this is why he told it. It says that Jesus told his disciples a parable so that they would always pray and not give up. Now, I wonder why he would tell them a parable that would encourage them to always pray and not to give up. Because one of the very things that is easy to do when praying and asking and seeking is to give up. Some of us in this room, and I include myself in that, may have been praying for our friends or our family members or a loved one for years, and never seen any movement, never seen anything happen, and therefore we've given up. Now, this is not a heavy. Jesus understands that. That's why he says, keep on asking, seeking, knocking. These are in the continuous tense, these words in Greek. Keep on doing it. Keep on keeping on. Never give up. So Jesus told this amazing parable. And this is one of my favorite parables that he told, actually. And it says that there was a judge, an unjust judge, who didn't care for people or fear God. He was a nasty piece of work. And if he was here, we'd all have to boo and hiss. And there was a widow. And as we know, widows at that time and in that place were really vulnerable people, because they had nobody to care for them, nobody to provide for them. They were dependent on almsgiving, the goodness of others, to help them survive. And she was upset because somebody had done her down, treated her badly. And so she went to the unjust judge to seek for justice because of her adversary. That's what Jesus says. Because somebody had done something bad, and she wanted this person, this unjust judge, to sort it out. So it says night and day, you get the picture. She kept on and on and on asking for justice to be done. One of the pictures, potentially, it might be this, these judges were kind of itinerant. They would move from community to community and pitch their tent and do local justice. And you've got a picture of this woman, who nobody really listened to much, who didn't have any power whatsoever, walking round and round the tent when the bloke's trying to work, he's trying to sleep, he's trying to do whatever he's doing, saying, "I want justice! Do something! Come on! Act, you miserable old person!" That kind of thing. You get the picture. This is very dramatic. Jesus is painting big pictures here. So here she's crying out. And it says this, that the unjust judge got so fed up with her perpetually going on that he said, "Even though I don't care about God, and even though I don't really like people very much, I will grant her justice because she's going to do my head in if she keeps going on." Then Jesus draws a comparison. He's not saying God is like the unjust judge. He's actually saying that he is the counter opposite. He is the counter opposite from this unjust judge. He's not unjust. He's wonderful and just. And he's not mean and uncaring. He's full of love and compassion. And we need to keep praying to him, not because we're trying to bend his ear, but because he's our loving Father who sees the big picture. One of the reasons that we run aground with prayer is that we just don't see the big picture. There are sometimes issues at play that I think we don't really ever comprehend. And sometimes, plainly, God's answer to us over some issues is now, or not yet, or wait. It could be any of those. But God fundamentally is not like the unjust judge. He is a loving Father. Therefore, he calls us to seek and to knock and to ask because he loves us. So that's the who. Not just God. We're not praying to God. We're praying to our loving Heavenly Father. And that makes all the difference, my friends, this morning. Your concept of who God is will change the way that you pray dramatically. If you think he's a mean-spirited, unjust kind of judge-type character, a bit like the Chancellor of the Exchequer, or, I don't know, the police inspector, or, you know, kind of a judge sat on his seat, whatever, wool center, that's the Lord's, isn't it? If you think he's like that, when you're going to try and think, "Well, God, you're not going to give me very much. I'll try and twist your arm a bit, but basically I know you're pretty unyielding." But if you think of him in the way that Jesus portrayed God, as a loving Heavenly Father, Abba, the word that Jesus used for him, then it calls us into relationship. You see, these prayers, these ongoing petitions, only make sense if we think of them in the context of a relationship with God. Not some kind of legal interaction. It's a relational prayer. God comes alongside us in the midst of our walk with him, in the midst of our struggles, and we need to keep asking him to do so because he's there and after you. He's with you. He loves you. There's a beautiful video clip that you have probably seen lots of times. It's Olympic. I thought, well, how can we weave the Olympics into this? Our thinking a bit this morning. So I thought, I know exactly the clip that will kind of illustrate this point. So let's just look at this video clip together.
When you try your best but you don't succeed, when you get what you want but not what you need, when you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse, and the tears come streaming down your face, when you lose something you can't replace, when you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be worse?
dry the tears. That's Derek Redmond. He was nailed on for a medal. He was possibly a gold medalist, really. He was at the peak of his form. And he dreamt about it. He's been speaking about it recently. I don't know if any of you have picked it up on the TV. He's actually really frustrated that people can't keep talking about it, because he said, "I still feel absolutely gutted I didn't win the race." He said, but he actually said that that clip has helped so many people. Because there he is, he takes off, he's hammering around, and suddenly his hamstring goes. And he's broken, he's disappointed, everything he dreamed of and trained for had gone to dust. And he's on the. He gets to his feet and he's limping, and then this man comes from the crowd. This is Dad. And his dad comes to him. And can you see all the officials, the Pharisees coming up and saying, "Get off." And his dad goes, "Clear off! Get off, this is my son." And he hugs his son and helps him to the finish line. It's a beautiful picture of the God who calls us to ask and seek and knock. On our journey, we're going to get disappointed. We're going to find things difficult. Things aren't always going to go our way. We're not going to get all the answers to prayer we think we are. But God, nevertheless, calls us to keep asking him and seeking him and knocking, because he comes to us and puts his arm around us and takes us where he wants us to go. So it's a beautiful picture. So we're going to kind of close our time together now. Oh, actually, where are the kids gone? If you go and knock on that door again, you can go and do that. You're going to probably be much more appreciative of what you get this time. if you weren't there the first time, you can't go. No, you can. Go and knock on the door. Go and, no, that's it. Go on, give it a good knock. That's it. Only do that once. And Dave will hand out the sweets. Come on, Dave, hand them out. There you are. If you want a sweet, go and get it. What I want to say, I want us to respond really this morning. And maybe some of us feel very disappointed. Okay. Maybe we feel like we've given up a bit. And we're just going to listen to that piece of music again. And maybe as a little act of kind of response, this is not setting yourself up for failure, but it's sometimes I've found it helpful if I've got something that reminds me of a prayer that I prayed, or a new commitment that I've made. We've got some little marbles here, and if you want to, you can come and, while we're listening to this, just come and take a marble, and you can sort of say in your own mind that this for me, I'm going to keep this as a reminder that I want to continue to pray for my mum or my dad or my son or my brother. I want to use this as a reminder to myself that I'm going to keep asking God to fill me with his spirit, and that I might live the kingdom life that Jesus spoke about in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to take this to remind as a reminder that I'm praying. I'm trying to pray every day that I would learn to walk in love and peace with my brothers and sisters or my family, or live in forgiveness. It might mean something different to all of us here. But we're just going to listen to that piece of music again. I just encourage you to come and take one of these. Let's not make it a big deal if you want to. I've got one there. I've got the nicest one, the blue one there. So please just feel free to come up. We're going to listen to this.
Tears come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be you never try, you'll never know.
Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to just stand together. So we respond to you this morning. Let's respond to God. Come to him in prayer. Father God, we say to you this morning that we thank you for your incredible love for us. Thank you that you're a father that outshines any father that we can imagine. We thank you for the wonderful way in which you come alongside and embrace us and hold us when we feel broken and disappointed. Father, we thank you that you are the God who will never, ever, ever give up on us. Help us never to give up on you. Father God, we pray, I pray that you would give us all grace. Give us your spirit this morning that we might live the life that Jesus calls us to, that we might learn to live in peace and forgiveness and faithfulness and prayerfulness and loving you, Lord, above all other things. So just in this quiet moment, Lord, I say, Holy Spirit, come and touch our hearts again, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, grant us the gift of the Holy Spirit, I pray, that we might live for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.